A reading from Acts, the 15th chapter. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. There arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from one another. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The more I pondered that little reading from Luke, the more people loved by God, it struck me how neutrally he records this sharp disagreement between Saints Barnabas and Paul. Kind of reminded me of the good old days when you could turn on Channel 9 in the evening and listen to Walter Cronkite tell you what happened in the world that day. And some of you are old enough to remember what surely stands out in this day and age is that you just had no clue whatever about what the guy thought about the news he was actually conveying. Every once in a while, he might have a stray smile, but mostly there was neither outrage nor approbation. Luke seems to be pulling a Cronkite here. He does not invite you or me to outrage, either over St. Barnabas's behavior or St. Paul's. He doesn't take sides, and he doesn't summon us to either. In fact, the more I thought about this, the more this account seems to be a powerful example of someone heeding what our Lord said, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned." I freely confess that I have judged on the basis of this account more than once. My sympathies have always lain with St. Barnabas and St. Mark. I'm all in favor of the second chance. And that's probably a reflection of the fact that if somebody didn't give me a second chance and a 20-second chance and a 220-second chance, well, I'd be tossed aside too. So I like St. Barnabas's leniency. But then that means I've judged St. Paul as being too harsh, too demanding, too unyielding. And why? Because I didn't like his standard. I knew I'd fail it. St. Luke doesn't go there at all. And from the way the story is told, the congregation doesn't either. They weren't about to pronounce which of these two great apostles was in the right. That was above their pay grade. Instead, they commend them to the grace of the Lord, and they let them go their separate ways. Maybe it's a good warning for us in these days of jumping into everyone's business with our two bits on social media and even in person. A warning to shut the mouth and still the fingers. Take them off the keyboard. To withhold judgment because, well, after all, you're not the judge. And you know who is. And he doesn't require any of your assistance in sorting things out. How my life would change if I really heeded his call to step back from the snap judgment and from offering the Whedon verdict on all the disagreements that confront the church and her leaders today, and instead just commended every last one of them into the grace and mercy of God and let Jesus sort it out in his own time and in his own way. I don't know about you, but I think to myself, duh, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Of course it is. St. James once wrote, "Know this, beloved brothers, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I wonder if we could paraphrase that a bit to read, listen a lot more. Be reluctant to offer your own two cents. And go slow at the outrage. Because you taking sides in outrage does not at all result in the kind of righteous life God wants for you or anyone else. In the Gospels, there's a pair of sayings that stand in some tension. It was years before I actually noticed their crucial difference. In the first, Jesus says, "The one who is not against us is for us." In the other, Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." Did you catch the difference? It's the us versus the me. There are those who are not following us, but they're not against us because they are still with him. He's still their Lord and Master. And they stand or they fall to him, not to us. And what business do any of us have judging another one's servants? So when disagreements about strategy and operation erupt in the church, particularly when brothers engage each other hot and heavy, each convinced that their way is the God-pleasing way, and even ready to part company with each other over the disagreement, there is a great peace that can come to you by observing that God's not waiting around for your verdict on the matter. You can trust him. He'll sort it out in his own time and in his own way. He is, after all, the living Lord of his church. It is beautiful when brothers dwell in unity. But our unity is not shared opinion. Our unity is not agreed on action plans. It's something far more fragrant and abundant than the oil on Aaron's beard. It's the precious blood of Jesus. It's the fragrant aroma of life that blots out for all eternity the handwriting that is against us all. He remains the reigning and living Lord and the active head of his church. Brothers inevitably will disagree, and sometimes even sharply so. But how about we just then commend them to the grace and mercy of the living Lord and leave it there? Who are we to be judging our brothers? Who are we to be inserting our opinions, to give our own two cents worth on everything? Maybe, just maybe, we should take a page from old Walter Cronkite's playbook and simply observe or report without injecting ourselves at all. And how refreshing would that be? And that's the way it is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.